going to the world. It's a great prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving, and we say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of God's word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion, no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word this morning. And we declare and decree that at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Hallelujah. Praise God. So we started a series a few days ago titled The Local Church. Right? Let's go all the way to, what book is that? Matthew's Gospel 28. Right? So run all the way to Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. Matthew's Gospel 28. Are we together? Then Matthew's Gospel 28. And look at verse 18 quickly. Right? Let's go ahead in the word, okay? And it says, all power, that's the word authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, we said the word their power is the word authority. I said the word their power is the word authority, and it is the authority that is given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth. Now, we said when you speak about heaven in the Bible, don't think about the sky, okay? You don't think about the clouds, right? You don't think about that blue, light blue sky, or sky blue, like we call it, firmament that is above the earth, right? We said that heaven in the Bible is used to speak about the world that is what? Unseen. The world that is unseen, okay? Right? The world that is unseen. Yeah? So you don't think of heaven. So when God says, when the Bible says in Genesis 1, God created the heavens and the earth, right? What you shouldn't see from that narrative is that Moses is talking about the sky and where man is. Mind you, in Moses' world, there was no technology that would allow them get to the sky. Are we together? Right? There was no technology that allowed them to get to where? The sky. Was there an ability for Moses to fly Qatar Airways? Yeah? Did Moses and the children of Israel go through Turkish Airlines? No. Right? Or British Airways? Yeah? So, you see, to leave that which is of the cloud was somewhere that they saw as a distinct place or a place that is far away. Are we together? Right? So when Moses is describing the heavens and the earth, he is really describing the heaven as the world which man does not see. Are we together? The world which is the supernatural world, or the world which is unseen by the physical eyes of man. Right? So when Jesus says all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth, in the real sense, he's talking about the supernatural world in relation to the earth, which would be the natural world. Then in that authority, he says in verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the what? The Father, and of the Son, and of the what? Holy Ghost. So how many of you grew up doing this thing? You know this thing here? On name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. So you divided the word into two. Holy Ghost. Then which one is wrong? I thought this one was angels. Name of the Father, name of the Son, name of the Holy Ghost. Angels, my. You know, I see some of our football players, they do that before they get into the pitch. They'll be jogging on the touchline. They will still beat you if you do not train well. Yeah? They'll be on the touchline and say, they know that they want to raise the substitution on board. And somebody jumping the ball before he touches the line, touches the line, they run. And when you see the way the man is running, you know that this one is not fit. You know, this brother is not fit. Yeah, so we've come to understand that in the name of Father. So we think now, I've taught this before, but years ago, I said that this is the only scripture or verse in the Bible where you have the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost in a verse. Right? Are we together? Yeah, so a lot of us, we've taught this as several things. How many of you grew up with the practice of anointing different corners of your house? Right, we grew up doing that, right? Yeah, so and you wake up in the morning, you pour anointing oil to stain the wall of your your bedroom, your living room. And so people, when they dedicate their car, the pastor opens the bonnet for them. Have you noticed they don't do that thing for cars like Rolls Royce? So if I'm a pastor and you buy a Rolls Royce and you ask me to come and pray on it and I bring my gallon of oil And I said, I want to pour. What will you say?
The pastor, pour it on me. Pastor, I'm the one driving the car. Pour it on me.
Why? Because you know that, you know how much that car costs. You know that the oil can touch somewhere it should not touch.
Yes.
Are we together? Yes. You know that if you touch it, the money you use to repair will buy two new cars. So they say, Pastor, I am the vessel. I am your sacrifice. Yet, so you ask Pastor to pour the oil directly on you. Pastor, leave the Rolls Royce. Just lay hands on the what? Rolls Royce. Yeah, so we've grown up, we grow up rather having that mindset of, oh, you need to do the name of Father, name of Son, and name of the Holy Ghost. And the real saints, the name we have is after the name of the Son. Whilst linked to the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and that's why the Bible will say, oh, our Father which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Right? Hallowed be thy name means sanctified is your name. That is your work. Only you does it. Right, and we did a series on the name of Jesus a couple of years ago, and we're able to explain what the name of Jesus means. Right, nowadays we use the name of Jesus for so many things. You can now kiss the bride after the count of J E S U S, or you can now cut the cake. J E S U S, Jesus. So we use the name Jesus for so many things, but the name of Jesus is not much as the letters involved. You know, there's a footballer called Jesus. I know there are people who are called Jesus. So imagine a footballer called Jesus who is being dribbled by a man called Ronaldo or Messi. Imagine the comment of the commentator. Yeah? Imagine the comment of the commentator. Jesus has just been dribbled. Oh, Jesus with the ball, Jesus with the ball, and Jesus loses the ball. Yeah? So you see, that name Jesus has nothing to do with Jesus, your Savior. So when you think of, you know, Jesus was never called Jesus. I hope you know that Adam was not called Adam. Okay, didn't know. Okay, right. So Jesus was not. I hope you know that Noah was not called. Forgive me. Yeah. So in the real sense, Jesus. Nobody said brother Jesus to Jesus. Yeah, his name was not an English name. That's what I'm trying to say. Altogether, the Hebrew culture did not start until you start seeing the lineage of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it means that men before that lineage will not have bore Hebrew names. Are you here? Yeah? Well, so I did all of that analysis in the series called The Name of Jesus. What am I saying? The name of Jesus, really. So what he says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. It now says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded, and lo, I'm with you. Now we said over and over that this is an instruction to build disciples. And there is no instruction in this verse to open churches. Remember that? Yeah? The instruction does not say go into different cities and be opening churches. The instruction says make disciples. However, in obeying the instruction of making disciples, you realize that there would need to be the gathering of people together. Are we together? So like we are gathered together. Imagine I was to pick each and every one of you every week and to teach each of you the same thing that lasts an hour. It means I should be thinking of an average of 20 to 25 hours spent on teaching the saints and teaching all the saints one topic. All together. But you see, there's a need for gathering such that people within Edinburgh or within the neighborhood cities around Edinburgh can come all the way into church so that we can fellowship with the saints. Now, let me say this to you. One of the most important decisions you make after being born again is the decision of the people you gather with. Yeah, one of the most important decisions you make is not the decision of your next job, right? Well, except to the extent in which the job will affect your gathering. But the first thing you look out for is the gathering of people who are saved. That is why in our world today, you see, when you see some of these on-air personalities, the OAP you call them, when they are fighting and doing as much to fight against a church, they are not as much as focused on that church that the devil being focused on you and I to devalue the purpose of the church. Are we together? Are we here? Are we here? You see, when you see a trending topic against the church, the goal is not just that church. The goal is that church and the body. That's why I told you, you can't afford to feed your ears with jokes around the miraculous. Yeah, you can't afford to feed your eyes or your heart with stories about the miraculous. Oh, there was a man that was doing faith miracles. There's a man that did not do faith miracles. You see, and that is what you sit down with your 5 hours in a week to watch. Yeah, a time will come, you will not believe in the miraculous. You that before, when you have a slight headache, you are looking for the nearest believer around you to lay hands on you and say you are healed. Now, it has now changed. You see, because you question, a lot of times you don't know where it changed. It is because you fed your heart. We are all products of influence. Are we together? Right? So the day you start, you know, dishonoring the things of the spirit, you might not know the exact point. But the devil has done his work by feeding your heart. The devil has done his work by feeding your heart. So what happens? You see a story online and you use that story to feed your pastor. Right? You feel, and you see, we're in a world where people who are battling with sin judge other people for battling with different types of sin. Did you get that? Yeah? I think I usually say this, I usually say this way a couple years ago. I'll say, when a sinning sinner is condemning another sinning sinner for sinning differently. Did you get that? Yeah? You know, there are some things that people will never know about you because they are done behind the doors. Altogether. Yeah. So when you see somebody who is always trying to castigate anybody, and I always say it as a church, don't have conversations about God's palace in comparison with another church. It is not good for you. Amen? Yeah? Don't say, it's not good for you. And that is why let me say it this way. I really say something. When it comes to the things of God, there's a level of comparison that should not come in at all. Let me tell you something. If any of you make a post of me and tell me I'm the best pastor in the world, that will not make me happy. I feel like there are better ways to talk about how great your pastor is than saying he's the best pastor. You've gone to 2 churches in your life. You've gone to 5 churches in your life, but you know the best pastor in the world. If you want to say my mom is the best mom in the world, then we can allow that. My office is the best, even though you've just graduated. You just gave you a certificate 2 weeks ago. You are still working in the company because they say you should come for fees. You say this is the best company in the world. And you can leave that mindset at the workplace, but not church. God's Palace is the best church in the world. There's no need for that. God's Palace is a good church. It's okay. Eh? Are we here? Yeah? God's Palace is better than God's destiny downstairs. Is not a necessary conversation. Because you don't know who will offend you in God's palace tomorrow. And you find yourself in God's destiny. What will that happen? And you have to change best. You have to give another award to your church. Because you are good enough to know that where you are is the best. So anywhere you go to becomes the. So you see, it's not necessary. It's not necessary. Do you understand? So we must know that when it comes to guarding our heart, we must be careful at the statement, because what that mindset does to you a lot of times is to begin to castigate, and you are always going to be fault finding. That church, they believe in sound doctrine, you know, but they collect that. I hope you know, collecting tithe or not collecting tithe does not mean you are a sound church. You know my slant on tithes. You can go to our website, you will have nothing less than 50 hours of tithes. Eh? You know my slant on tithes. You know my slant on tithes is not that you give to get blessed. You don't get blessed by giving tithes. Your life is not tight because you don't give tithes. You are not suffering because you did not give good offering. You know my teaching on that is clear. But that a church collects tithes doesn't mean they are forced to church. You know, I hope you know that doctrine is not the criteria to being a child of God. Believing Jesus is the criteria to be a child of God. So it means that there will be churches where their believers are saved as you are, but don't even believe in eternal salvation. I hope you know that teaching eternal salvation in itself does not make you more doctrinal. I hope you know that there are churches that don't believe in eternal salvation, and even the man that fights against eternal salvation is saved eternally. Yeah. Because eternal salvation is not dependent on your doctrine. is dependent on, do you believe that Jesus died and rose again and is alive forever? Yeah, bravo. So if you like, open a YouTube channel and say, call it as that fight against eternal, or call it fight against ES. Eternal or everlasting salvation. And you, as long as you believe that Jesus died and rose again, you are saved forever. So you need to be careful about the things that will guard your heart against unnecessary comparison. Yeah, the best staff of the year is okay to have that conversation in your office. Yeah? Oh, you see that this person comes late, this person comes early, this one does the work in time, they give this one the work, he does it in 10 weeks, they give this one the work, he does it in 10 minutes. But that's the place where you have to do those things because you want to earn something. But the moment as a church we start giving the best disciple of the year, we're in trouble. Do you hear me?
Yes.
And why am I saying these things and saying it very loud? So that the day it starts, if it starts, you can call me to order. And I always tell you, we write our teachings with a date on it. So you can say, Pastor, we taught in this teaching on this day, on the 20th minute, 15th second. Yeah, if at the end of the year we are coming together and saying the best department in the church is choir, how did we rate that? We'll come together as a church and we say the highest giver in this church is this person. We're in trouble. Because what now happens is people begin to give to win the award, not give from the doctrinal slant to actually give as an end in itself out of love.
Yeah.
So you see people trying to outdo themselves. You would think it's out of a place of love. Rather, it is to show off. So that you can come, shake the hands of pastor, take a plaque, and snap picture and paste in their bedroom. Yeah, so there's everything wrong with that sense of comparison, comparing saints to another. Now there's a place of using saints as examples to another. But using saints as example to another is not the same as comparing saints with another. Are we together? I can say, you this sister, you come early to church. You this sister, you come late to church. Yeah, the moment you hear that as comparison, you are in trouble too. Are we together? Yeah? So you must understand that when it comes to the local church, there's a way. Look at 1 Timothy quickly. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. 1 Timothy 3, verse 14. Let's continue from where we stopped a few days ago. Wow. Yeah, 1 Timothy 3, 14. It says, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the what? In the house of God, which is, are you there?
Yes.
Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of what? The truth. Altogether. So he says, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So the church is a place that you refer to as the pillar and the ground of truth. Yeah? And Paul says there's a way we behave ourselves. Now on Wednesday, I closed my teaching on Wednesday from the book of Acts. Let's run there quickly. Go to Acts chapter 4. Let's go there quickly, then go back to Absalom, then go back to Ahithophel. Okay? So look at first Acts chapter 4, and go all the way to Acts chapter 4, verse 31. Acts 4:31. Are you there? Are you in Acts 4:31?
Yes.
Well, it says, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. So, did the disciples pray in a way that the place was shaking? So, did they pray with low voice? You know, some people, after they've heard something like your sins are forgiven forever, God is your father, they think that people that pray in very, what we call strange ways, have problem. Are we together? Yeah, you know, people that, you know, call it burden bearing in the place of prayer. Jesus, your Savior, prayed in a way that tears were dropping. We saw his sweat like blood in the Bible. Jesus, the Savior. Right? So, when we're in local church, for instance, and somebody says, oh, I don't pray seriously. I just receive. You know the Greek word, receive? Yeah, I just lay hold. Pastor has called us the word lambano. I lay hold on the things that Christ has done in the resurrection, and I just give praise to God. So I know, hey, Pastor, you know, since I started listening to your message, I stopped praying long. Ah, I'm in trouble. You stop praying long when you hear my message, then I'm in trouble. Are we together? Right? When you think of the work that God wants to do on the earth, you will know you need to pray and pray long. That is why you ought to see prayer as an end in itself. What is the blessedness of prayer? See, listen to me, everyone. The blessedness of prayer is not in the fact that the prayer is answered. The blessedness of prayer is not in the fact that the prayer, or you saw the result of your prayer. The blessedness of prayer is in the fact that you have prayed. The blessedness of prayer is in the fact that you've prayed in obedience to God's will and God's instruction. Are we together? So, as saints, we need to give ourselves. So, you can see an example. It says, when they were praying, the place was shaking. These are disciples. These are people who were taught directly by Jesus. All together. Where do you think they learned the attitude of prayer? Jesus. All together. So, Paul will say that you know how you ought to behave. So, when we come together, we say we are coming for an hour of prayer. What do? We go there with all our mind. What would somebody do like this? And you say, oh God. What don't you say? You don't say, he doesn't know finished works. He doesn't know this new creation. Are we together? Well, that's not my message today, but I'll touch on a few things today. So he says, and they spoke the word with boldness in verse 31. Look at verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. Are you following? So none of them said that the things they owned were their own, but they had all things in common. Now look at verse 3. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Look at verse 34. 1, 2, 3, go, let's read together. Neither, Acts 4, 34, 1, 2, 3, go. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands and houses sold them and brought the things that were sold. Verse 35, 1, 2, 3, go. And laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had needs. What happened there? Now, in the church, will everybody have land? No, now. Will everybody in the church have car? No, now. Did everybody in this church have car and house and donkeys and all those things? No. But there were those that had, and there were those that did not have. So what did those that have to? Please, I want to say something important to. What did those that have to? They took from what they had by their decision, and they sold it, and they brought the money to where? Apostles' feet. That is, they brought it to the subjection of the leadership of the church. We are in trouble if a member of the church sees another member of the church going through a challenge and go and sell their house and give the money to that person directly. Are you with me?
Yes.
Are you with me? You see, very soon I will start having people who are doing wedding. We start having people who are doing ceremony, maybe ceremony and all those kind of things. When somebody gives birth in a local church and you have something to give to the person, what do? You bring it to the feet of the apostle. Are we together?
Yeah.
Why? You are putting yourself in trouble. Let me ask you a question. All of you answer this question innocently. If something you are doing, you are celebrating, and the entire church gather together and give you £100, and one brother or one sister in the church gather together, only two of them, and they give you £500, who will you honor on next Sunday? Are you laughing? As you, thank you. Who will you honor more? Is that a lecturer? It's normal. You say, that's how the devil works. So, the whole church, Sister Esther, I know where you work. Brother Sam, I know where you are working. And all of you together is £2 you gather. And you need 100. You are laughing. It has happened in God's palace before. Where a man in the church will be the one feeding every other person. And you know me. Until one day, my father and the man will be coming into church
Even when Russia go and collect the man's Bible, it wasn't he that. They go and collect his Bible and say, welcome, sir. And my dad be carrying his bag in the church in his pastoring. You see, there are, why am I saying these things? There are things people do to put themselves in trouble. Let me tell you something. The moment you think you want the person to give something to know it is you, then you are not giving generously.
Yeah.
Let me just say, yeah, time will come. Amen. It's better to give somebody money directly so they know you care about them. Ah, Sister Bean, I noticed that this shirt you are wearing, you wear it consistently. And I just noticed that there are some gowns that I've not worn them before. I just felt like they will fit you. Just let's go to the boot of the car after church. The Kadigana must go and give Sister Bean. But once Sister Bean goes on, I can open shop. This person, tomorrow, what will happen? You see pastor and the brother coming to church. Pastor, you alright? Pastor, you alright? And the brother say, oh my brother, how are you? Did you have a great week? Now, somebody that is seeing you behave that way will think, oh, you are just a caring sister. And but they've loaded your pockets. So if Sister Vim is getting married tomorrow, and you want anything to give to Sister Vim, what do you do? You come and give Pastor Joshua. I feel, Pastor, I want to support with this. Pastor Joshua will give Sister Vim, and not mention your name. You know when Sister Vim will know your name? When we all get to it. That's the day God will call your name. If you are not okay with that, keep your money in your pocket. Are we here? All of you now, I'm telling people, so the next time, maybe the money will not be massive because people have kept their money in their... Okay. Are we here? The mind of man has a way to honor the person that gives them more. And that is why we take that mindset in our relationship with God. That's why the man in the parable of Jesus, the example Jesus will give, you say, I give more than that person. All together. Right? If Sister Stephanie is getting, how does she's getting married? No, she's married by the precious blood of Jesus eternally. Amen. If Sister, are you? Yeah? You're married to Jesus. So how do you do that? So, only Jesus that gave you a flower. Yeah? So if Sister Ayobami is getting married next week, right? And let's say all of us are not buoyant enough to go and sell our lands. And only Brother John brings £400. And every other person brings 100 1p. So he gets to 423p. No, 400 pounds, 23p. When pastor is handing it over to Sister Ayobami, what must pastor not do? Pastor must not submit the order in which the list was written. First name, Brother Ayobami. Second name, Sister Steph, 2p. Brother CJ, 3p. Sister Bukola, 3.5p. You still have decimal point p. 3.5p. Now, all together. Let me tell you something again. Brother John must not go and meet Sister Ayobami. Did you receive what we sent? Are you here? Did you receive what you sent? And because Sister Ayobami wants to know if Pastor took part of the money, you say, oh, I received 473p. And Brother John will say, what? Only me gave £400. Sister Ayobami said, really? Oh, may God bless your pockets. May God multiply your pocket. This is the man who can start working in offense. So you know what we decided as a church from 3, 4, 5 years ago? We decided that when we look at our state as a church, we look at what we can afford as a church per time, and we give a certain amount to anybody doing anything per time. So if at this stage of our ministry, we can afford £200 alone, even if we gather and get £2,000, we are giving you £200. Go and tell tax office. Go and call police. Because what will happen is there are different times in your life where you have what money to give.
Yeah.
You can afford £5 today and afford £200 tomorrow.
Yeah.
What happens if you are marrying today when it's £5 you can afford? And you are marrying tomorrow when it's £200 you can afford, and you are marrying
You are marrying. You are marrying next month when it's £20 you can afford. What will happen? You will measure that if they can give sister £200, you go and look for Ketra. You want to do wedding? What? You start budgeting the church. What was come to us? The church has grown. The church must give me £200. Say what? If they can give sister £200. I should expect nothing less than £200. And unfortunately, so you now put us under pressure as a church to want to double up. You have not finished paying for money. We now want to double up. Brother, the program must not know that. So what do we do? When we are getting for Brother John, and what we are giving Brother John is £200. But we are getting for Sister V. So it means that if we decide £200 is what we can afford, when we are getting for Brother John and it's less than £200, we as a church can decide to push it up to £200. When it's time for Sister Yobami and we gather £5,000, we as a church we decide to bring it down by the special grace of Almighty God. What do we do? We give us Sister Yobami. If this time next year we have more people who are contributing to the post, what do we say? As a church, this phase of our life, we are giving £300, no longer £200. Are you with me?
Yeah.
What did the people do in the Bible? They sold their properties. They didn't sell the property and started looking for people who did not have a house. You don't have a house? You don't have a house? No. That's why he says, and neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many of the possessions, verse 34, of lands or houses, sold them, brought the prices of the things that they sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he has need. So, who determines how distribution will be made? The leadership. Are we together? What I'm teaching you today, or in this series, is how the practicality of running a church, or the practicality of being a member of a church. Are we together? Because people have a way of reading meanings into things they should not read meanings into. Are we together? If you have a need, let's assume, Sister Abami, you have a house rent issue. Let's assume. Right? What should Sister Ayobami not do? Sister Ayobami must not and should not reach out to Sister V or reach out to Sister Amarachi without reaching out to Pastor. Are we here? We've had people who have left our church in years back because of this thing. A woman came to our church and people just noticed the kind of car she used to bring. And anytime they finish sharing the grace, before she gets to her car, there are 3 different or 4 different families that always meet her. Well, how are you? You know, we are sisters. And before the woman was to enter her car, they just say, "You know, I want to eat this afternoon." Is there anything wrong in a member not having what to eat in the afternoon? No, now, because there's not everybody in the church will be able to afford what to eat in the afternoon. But who must the member reach out to? You see, I've been in situations, for instance, where you see people, they have needs or they want to borrow money. Right? And they wanted to borrow money. What happened? They go and meet a member to borrow money. And the member innocently just thinks that, this is, I know that brother that is always leading praise and worship. He's so vibrant. My pastor said, rejoice. His voice is the loudest. He can't go away with my money. You see that statement? He can't go away with my money. So when Pastor now comes into narrative is when the man has gone away with the money. I didn't hear all these things from things outside. This as grown as a church we are. So it used to make me wonder where we now get to 1,000. We have to keep re-saying this thing. So the day you borrow somebody all your life, maybe somebody all is your call. I remember someone did that to my sister. You don't talk to the lady. Somebody from the blues, this is not a believer relationship. Someone from the blues, reaches out to you and says, please, my bank account card is not working. Quickly send money to me. Are we together? You see, those things have happened over time to the point that when it now comes to my table, because of how generous my heart is, I'll be looking for how, even if I cannot afford it, I'll be looking for how do I give this person part of this thing? It's a painful story. But I realize it's better I say it ahead. And so that when it happened, I'll say, remember that teaching? Track 17. Mm-hmm. We've said it before.
Yeah.
If Sister Esther come and meet Brother John and say, Brother John, I'm about to pay for my whatever thing is it. Please, can you borrow me? Brother John, anything you decide to give that person, this is a tricky conversation. You must understand that if you will give another person something like this, say it has gone. So you treat it as something that has gone. I grew up learning something from my mom. I don't borrow people money. Why am I saying it? I'm not trying to say, don't come at me. I think I'm with the mic right now. I don't borrow people money. You tell me, no matter how serious it is, right? Because I know I'm not, I know my father. I'm not related. My name is not Musk. Oh, you didn't get it? My name is not Zuckerberg. I don't have shares in Facebook. So if you tell me you need £1,000, what do I do? I look into my pocket. And that's why I told you 2 weeks ago, where contentment comes in. You want to do a wedding. Your budget of a wedding is £7,000. The person you're asking money for is whole budget of £500. Is it that he don't know? He don't know that. He doesn't know how to spend money. And the person now gives you £100. That he gave you, 1/20th. They have heard you say 1/4 of what he spent on his own salary, on his own wedding. I say, is that all they can give me? Even though they will say, and that's why you see some people, I've noticed over the years, I don't care again. I noticed I gave somebody money twice in two different parts of their life. When one was more, the person was saying, thank you so much, I'm so blessed, I appreciate you, Jerry. The next time I gave the person money, it was where he said, thanks. See, well, I hope you know the difference between thanks and thank you very much. When I give you one, you say thank you so much. Three lines, thank you so much, I appreciate you dearly. May God replenish your pocket. But I give this more. God does not replenish my pocket. Just say thanks, full stop. And then to the sister, I'm going to write, the person you look down today, the person you look down on today, God is taking him somewhere. Are we together? The stone you rejected today shall become the chief cornerstone. And on next, why? Because you have a sense of entitlement. A sense of entitlement. So always learn to do things and call things according to your how do you say it? So when you have need for money, who do you reach out to? Reach out to church. Church can decide what they give you. And if you are not satisfied with that, what do you do? That is why they are loaning companies. People want to collect loan from church because they can persuade church and say and they call themselves Christians. So what do we do? Go to loan company. A lot of these people collect money for loan. I'm not saying everything. A lot of people collect loan money for is for things they don't need to do.
Yeah.
A church is, I was telling a story this week. You are, a church is in Nigeria. Everybody's in Nigeria. Everybody knows what's happening in Nigeria. You came to church to collect loan for you to relocate. You came to church. If you ask that pastor in his quiet time, in his place of prayer, you don't know what his prayer point is regarding Nigeria. If it is Nigeria, it should be better. Or if it is your open door. And the church where I pray, door of utterance, door of utterance for pastor. And pastor's personal prayer is door of utterance to leave. And pastor will tell you that his vision is, I don't see black in my day. I have a vision. And I'm just seeing different people of multicolor. Multicolor skin. I see the white. And I want to meet the pastor to collect loan for you to relocate. Let me ask the question. If all the members collect loan to relocate, who would the pastor be preaching to in church? All of you will join through diaspora. Do you understand?
Yes.
And the person, the church said they cannot give, the person is annoyed. You give birth to 7 children. You see how the world is going. Your wife is pregnant with the 8th child. You collect loan. So church decides to give you £20 or £50 of support. You are angry. That can't pastor see the number of children. Wait, was pastor with you in the place? The favorite scripture is be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. And you and multiply. Am I the one that gave you the instruction? Am I the one that gave you the instruction? Go and meet God, you are obeying now. And you have 7 children, and there's nothing wrong with having 20 children. That's everybody. Everybody else was pursuing their own, they're pursuing. That's his life. Just like, but don't carry your, and be enforcing it on people. People must do this towards me. People must do. At least I know God's balance. They always say we demonstrate love in all facets. In all facets of the world, God's palace. I'm telling you, I do. Eh? Don't use us to plan your. Don't use us to plan your. What am I trying to say? Don't use us to plan. No matter what, Pastor Joshua and God's palace. Even if you can gather this much for love feast, who am I? They are eating rice in love feast, not sandwich, not they are eating cake, not cashew nuts. No, this they, I'm sure they treat me more than. Yet, don't get yourself worked up that way. Why am I saying this way? Paul will say that you know how you ought to behave yourself. These things we are saying are behaviors of people in the local church, and they need to be spoken about. Hallelujah. So, we don't just do things anyhow. We don't just behave anyhow. Now, we're looking at our correction last week Sunday. I was saying you need to have the attitude to receive correction. Are we together? Yeah, we saw the Corinthian churches, and we said, when you are in the same church, when another believer can see the work of the flesh and report to the leadership. Are we together? Are we together? Now, let's go to our teaching today. Look at Romans 15. Romans 15. Romans 15. Look at Romans 15 verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. So, Paul is saying that when we go through scriptures, we will see examples of things that are happening that we need to learn stories or learn lessons regarding. So, it means that when you see an example in the Bible, it is an example to show how to behave or how not to behave. Are you here?
Yeah.
Are we here? Look at 1 John. Let me show you something in 1 John quickly. 1 John 3. Before we go to 2 Samuel. 1 John chapter 3. Look at 1 John 3 verse 10. Or look at verse 11 for our time. 1 John 3 verse 11. It says, for this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should what? So when it says beginning, is that from Genesis?
Yes.
So what is the message from Genesis?
Love.
Are we in church? What is the message from Genesis?
Love.
That we should love one another. Look at verse 12. 1, 2, 3, go. Love. Not as Cain. So is Cain in Genesis?
Yes.
Is Cain an example?
Yes.
Yeah? But Cain is an example of who not to be. So Paul will say, not as Cain. I taught you last week and the previous weeks, there is nothing wrong in name calling in the local assembly. However, name calling should remain in the local assembly. Are we together? So, Paul will call name and say, not as Cain. So, John is saying that, you know the message from the beginning is that love one another. And it says, not as Cain. It means that when you read Cain's story, your conclusion should be that Cain is an example of who not to become. Are you here? He says, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. So when you read 1 John 3 verse 14 and 13 or 12, when you see Cain as an example, you see as an example of who not to follow.
Yeah.
Are we together? So what is the story of Cain and Abel to teach?
Love
one another. So is there a way to love one another?
Yeah.
Is there a way not to?
Yeah.
Are we following?
Hopefully.
So let's go to 2 Samuel and take it up again from there. We've been looking at a man called Absalom. Remember Absalom? So let's quickly go to 2 Samuel. So I hope you know the story of 2 Samuel already.
Yeah.
Right? What's the story about? Let me summarize it for you. A king's son wanted to sleep with his sister. Are we together? Then the king's son had a friend. What's the name of the friend?
Jonadab.
What did Jonadab counsel him to do? To ask her to cook food and invite her into the inners of bullies. Then ask all the men to go out. And what did Amnon do? Amnon raped his sister. What did Tamar do? Tamar reported the issue to Absalom. What did Absalom do? Absalom counseled her to walk in love. I said, don't worry, don't treat it like a serious thing, it's your brother. What did David do? No record of a disciplined action imputed on David. However, the Bible tells us that David was not happy about it. Is that clear? So, in this story, who is Absalom? A member. Yeah? Are you following? Who is Tamar? A member. Who is Amnon? Another member. Who is Jonadab? Another member. All in one kingdom. Who is David? So David is the pastor, right? So David heard about it and David was upset. But mind you, David is also the father to Absalom, as well as the father to Amnon, as well as the father to Tamar, and an uncle to Jonadab. So they are all his relatives. Okay? So one person does something to another. The pastor is aware about it. But the way the pastor corrected it, the person that was armed or hurt was not happy that the pastor took it or managed the matter that way. And what did the brother do? The Bible says for 2 years he didn't say a word to anybody. Right? So look at 2 Samuel 13. Are you there? Right? I've summarized this for you. So, look at verse 21. When the king heard of all these things, as the pastor heard about these things, he was wroth. And Absalom spake unto his brother Amnon, neither good nor bad. For Absalom, what? Hated Amnon, because he had forced his sister Tamar. And it came to pass in verse 23, that what happened? And it came to pass after 2 years, that Absalom had sheep shearers in Belahuza, which is beside Ephraim, and Absalom invited on the king's son. So what did Absalom begin to do? Absalom hated his brother and wanted to kill his brother. So how did Absalom go about it? He went to meet pastor. Is that true? I said, pastor, there's a small get-together I want to have in the house. Are you following me? Pastor, there's a little get-together. I want to cook food for everybody. Then what was Absalom's plan? Absalom's plan was that let everybody go, including pastor. But pastor would say, oh, well, I don't feel like going. Or pastor will say, I have another meeting. Or pastor will say, okay, let every other person go. Then what will happen to Absalom? He will be happy. What will Absalom now do? When you now get to the meeting with Absalom, what will Absalom do? Absalom will time the plate of Amnon and pour something inside. Are we together? And Absalom will tell every other person that I am the only one that should serve this brother. I'm the only one that should serve this sister. What will happen? Absalom will hold on to his plate with all his heart. And with so much love and care, go and give it to the brother. Oh, this is for you. And the brother will feel honored that the owner of the house brought food for him or her personally. And others that know the story will say, what a man walking in love. Are you here? Oh, I would have thought that with what he did to your sister, you still serve him food like that. And you say, that's my praise. Meanwhile, this man is saying, you don't know what is happening. You don't know what plan I've been done. And they will all smile. What will happen? Amnon will eat and start purging. And he will purge, let his intestine come out. And report to go back to pastor. Pastor, come and pray. All together, the pastor too will be scared of his life because you don't know if the person is also after pastor's life. You will watch what I'm about to show you today. All together. So, Jonadab gave the wrong counsel. Amnon followed the counsel. Now, note this in your notebook. Not every counsel must be followed by you. You are not obligated to follow every counsel. You are not obligated to follow every counsel. You should judge counsels from the written word of God. All together. So you need to be careful who counsels you. You need to be careful what counsel is someone giving to you behind the leadership. What counsel is someone giving to you behind the local church? Like I told you before, you are not immune or immune to temptation. That's why Paul will warn you in 1 Corinthians. Let he who thinks he stands, let him what? Take heed. Let he what? He falls. What Amnon did, was it terrible? What Amnon did? Hold on. What Jonadab did, was it terrible? Who Jonadab? The one that counseled Amnon. What Amnon did by listening to the counsel, was it terrible?
Yeah.
But what Absalom did, was it terrible as well? Yes, now. So that means in the Christian faith, what did Paul John tell you? Not as Cain. We need to love one another, not as Cain who slew his brother. So if Absalom slew his brother, in the human world, you will think it is revenge. You will think it is logical. But in Bible world, it is not revenge that is logical. Are we together? Revenge might be logical, but in the written world, there is never a time to excuse revenge on another person. You get that? If you go back to me, what do I owe you? Romans 13, verse 8, you say, owe no man anything but to love. If you go back to, can you do back to me? Yes, I've told you before. Except you don't have leg, people will step on your toes. And even if you don't, they will still step on your toes. Let's say you put your toe, you're always walking like this, they will still find a way to step on it. Why? Because you are dealing with humans. When someone steps on your toe, what do you not do? Yeah? Bible says, oh, no man, nothing but love. Yeah? The moment you retaliate, and you know what you've done? When you retaliate to someone who does evil to you, you've come down to the person's level to act. What is the goal of someone doing evil to you? It is to bring you down from the high pedestal that God has placed you. The expectation God has placed on you. That's why you see Jesus, even though he was killed and stabbed, that the hatred of man poured in anger on Jesus Christ. He didn't move his mouth to say, I curse you. That's why Peter will not tell you, Jesus Christ left for us an example that we follow in his steps. Let me tell you something. Is it the easiest thing to do? When someone steps on you, it's not the easiest thing to overlook and forgive. It's not the easiest. I'm going to tell you as your pastor. It's not the easiest thing. But the Bible is not teaching about it because it is easy or it is not easy. The Bible is teaching about it because it is God's will and God's plan and God's word. Now let me tell you what strife can do and offense. So Absalom became angry. You mean, so Absalom would have met Tamar and said, have you told Pastor what happened? Tamar would say, yes, I told him. Pastor was so furious and he was angry. And Absalom would say, is that all? Was that all Pastor did? And Absalom will now tell Tamar, don't worry, just forgive. Just forgive Amnon. He's your brother. We are all saints. Are we together? Then what will Absalom do? He will leave that meeting and not say a word to Amnon. And for 2 years, he will be planning the concussion that he will give to Amnon in order for Amnon to die. Are we together? Are we together? So, you mean Pastor says no nothing? Look at chapter 13, verse Chapter 13, or because of our time, let's go to verse chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 25. Let me read from verse 25 for you. But in all of Israel, there was none that should be as much praised as Absalom because of his what? Beauty. From the sole of his foot, even to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him. What is that? What are they saying? Was Absalom a beautiful man? Was he handsome? Was he sparkling clean? Yeah? Yes, he said he was praised, but no one was praised like him. Look at verse 26. 26 now says, and when he pulled his head, for it was at every year's end that he pulled it, because the hair was heavy on him, therefore he pulled it. He weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels after the king's will. That means if Absalom wanted to sell his hair, he would make money. Together. Look at 27. And unto Absalom there was born 3 sons, 1 daughter, and whose name was what? Tamar. For she was the woman of a what? Fair countenance. Let's read verse 28 together. 1, 2, 3, go. And Absalom dwelt. Are we together? 1, 2, 3, go. And Absalom dwelt. Absalom dwelt what? 2 full years in Jerusalem and did not see the king's face. So who is Absalom? Absalom is the one that will be having an ulterior plan and cannot look at the pastor face to face. Does it happen in the church? Yes, it happens. Are we together? So, this is a... Now, why do you think someone should have that mindset towards the king? It's a superiority complex. Do you understand? Because Absalom felt he was very beautiful. Nobody should say anything to me. What exactly do you want to say to me? I'm a very beautiful person. So can Absalom be a lovable character?
Yeah.
You will see that shortly. Look at verse 28. He says, so Absalom dwelt 2 full years in Jerusalem, and he saw not the face of the king. If you go all the way to chapter 18, 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 18, then we'll come back there. Are you there? 2 Samuel 18, verse 18. Can we read together as a church?
No, okay.
1, 2, 3, go. Now, Absalom in his lifetime had taken and reared up for himself a what? A pillar, which is in the king's dale. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. And he called the pillar after his own name, and it is called unto this day Absalom's place. So was Absalom looking for relevance?
Yes.
Was Absalom looking for relevance?
Yes.
So the king, for instance, the leadership decided not to give a pillar to Absalom. What did Absalom do? Absalom created his pillar by himself and gave the pillar his name by himself. Let me bring that home to you. Right? Absalom is the one in the church who thinks that because pastor has not given me any position to do, what will happen? I will go and gather people in the church and start doing discipleship in my house without the pastor knowing. Let me tell you something. You see, each and every one of you should really have your disciples that are coming to your house to learn God's word. But there's a difference between having your disciples coming to your house to learn God's word as your disciples. It is different from you are representing God's palace. What did Absalom want to do? He wanted people to know his name. So his motives for doing that gathering, they'll call it cell fellowship, call it house fellowship. What was his motive? His motive was because he wanted to have a position. Altogether, who's Absalom in the church, right? You know, for instance, some services, when I don't, I can just ask one or two of you to come and minister to us by tongues and division or by word of knowledge, right? And I'll just give you the mic. Absalom is the one that after I call two people, the person will just like, boom! And for you see, and as you step, and as you step, and as you go. And as you go and as you run. And as you run and as you fly. And everybody will not keep quiet. If that happened here, I will ask them to burn you out. Go and finish your tongues outside there. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that the spirit of a prophet is subject to a prophet. No, the spirit will not force you. You force the spirit. The spirit cannot force you. Anything that makes anything that says spirit of God force you is that not to Timon. That you cannot hold your mouth. Pastor is teaching. And you say, what is he? I'll keep quiet. I'll be listening to you. Can't be carrier or carry man. Let us finish the talk there. When he or she finishes, we fine tune it. Then come and give the logo. That's how disorder starts. We're looking for how pastor not call me. Pastor doesn't know that. Is it that I don't know that God has something to say through you? I know now. But we don't want to hear it today. We don't want to hear it today. That's where order comes in the church. Because one day I will allow it. Another day will come. I will be trying to talk and be teaching. And everybody will be shouting at different locations. And I'll be trying to say, reduce your voice. That's why we give room for believers meeting. And you see that thing you want to say? You know that if you can want to say something now, there's nothing wrong in jotting it down. You write it down. You can be pastor. If you think it's that important, you can be pastor after church and say, pastor, whilst you're preaching, the spirit of God lays on my heart. Can those things happen? Yes. But not that you want to scatter everywhere. Pastor, have a sound, I think me, I'll just say, we want to hear the sound of the Lord. If we don't put order and structure in the church, people will behave anyhow. That's why I tell you, it's for clap. That people used to enter what? Dancing. Are we together? Eh? If today I'm teaching, one person open crackers biscuits and he's using me to write like they are using the hand to do. What do I do as a pastor? I correct it. In fact, let me tell you before you do it. I will correct you openly. I will send text to you. Why? Because that's why there's some things as a church we correct openly. Because people have seen it. Rather than me correcting everybody when it happens eventually, let everybody know that person was corrected. Because have an opportunity to see Sister Abomi see me after church. But there are people, I see Sister Abomi see me after church, people don't know that I've corrected her.
Yeah.
So it means that next Sunday, Sister Stephanie will do that. They see me after church. Who has that time? Do you understand?
Yes.
So if you are using me to eat crackers biscuit,
yeah,
then you now open with Coke Zero. Everybody's looking at you. One day will happen. I told you there's a food called a burner. Yeah, you know a burner. A burner is the Greek word for that soup. Imagine we're sitting there like that. Somebody will pour burner in that corner. He says, it's not you. He says, it's not me. It's not that brother. It's not brother Pussy. Yeah, it's not brother Pussy. But imagine somebody doesn't burn. A lot of us will be smelling food. You that were not thinking of food before, it's as if you wipe your stomach, you become very hungry. You say, when will this man finish? It's just 11 o'clock. Huh? You see, there needs to be order in the church. So autonomy is the one who wants to disabuse order. They want to be the one that is known for everything. Yeah? Why would Brassam not ask me to play the keyboard? Yeah? Why would Brassam, why would Pastor not ask me to lead prayer? I believe that I deserve to be given the position of prayer. Now, I'm going to teach this in the subsequent teaching. There is nothing wrong in a man desiring the office of a bishop. It's in scriptures. You can desire to be a pastor. It's desire. Right? But it's up to leadership to agree if they want to make you a pastor. And it's also up to you to know how to express your desires. You don't come and meet pastor and say, that person you ask to lead prayer, I know the word more than the person. That's the flesh. Do you understand? Your reason for meeting pastor that you want to lead prayer, that you want to lead songs, is not because you have a better voice. That's the flesh. It is because you want to serve and take up responsibility. But if your narrative to pastor is, even this person, yeah, so is Absalom. Yeah, I asked Sister Abomi to come and lead prayer today. Absalom is the one who will go and Sister Abomi. Oh, Sister Abomi, how are you? You alright? How was your week? Oh, my blessed sister. You are a blessing to the body of Christ. Don't just go palace. You know, but one of the things I want to call your attention to is that in the way you're leading prayer, before you give the prayer point, try to like tell us what the Greek word is. Yeah? Don't just say the communication of thy faith. Yeah? Use the word acknowledge, the word there, epignosis. Yeah? So what you do, sister, is say, praise the Lord. See, the word there is epignosis. That's Absalom. What should Absalom do if Absalom was to correct Sister Abomi in leading prayer? You go and meet the word to David. Pastor, I'm thinking this prayer can be done this way so that people can have a better understanding. The only reason why you are going to meet her directly is because you want the name for yourself. So that she too can say, even you too, you are the word made flesh. Are you following today? So, if you go all the way to chapter 18, it's chapter 18, verse 18. It says, Absalom actually built a place after his own name. And it's called the place Absalom. So, what is Absalom's spirit? The entitlement spirit. They deserve to have been given something. They deserve to have been given a position. Yeah? Why would pastor not ask me to lead this cell? Why would pastor not ask me to lead this group? Are we together? Right? They're the ones that always want to meet people privately after believers meeting. Oh, brother, you edified me so much in believers' meeting. However, have you thought about starting with tongues? Yeah? Before you give the altar, start with tongues. Yeah? Because pastor has told us that they will mention pastor's name. They are not as much mentioning pastor's name. They are as much trying to stamp themselves in your heart. So, Absalom was ambitious. He wanted to be known. He wanted promotion. Now, notice in your notes, be careful of ambitions. Be careful of ambitions. Any ambition that can make you do anything at any cost will most likely destroy you. Be careful of ambition. Be careful of ambition. Any ambition that can make you, you know, do anything at any cost will most likely destroy you. So Absalom's ambitions were frustrated. So Absalom can be a person. He can be an attitude of a person. He can be a character of a person. Absalom feels that he is better than all. He is better at taking decisions. He is better than the pastor. As long as the one that will come and meet you after workers' meeting and say, ah, you know those things that pastor was saying, do you agree with him? When you see someone acting that way, what do you do? I've told you before, right? You excuse them out of your house, or you excuse yourself out of the place. Can pastor do something better? Yes. If you want pastor to do something better, who do you tell? Not another member. You go and tell pastor. So as long as you have reached out to David and said, oh, King David, I know you are the king, and you know you are king over all of us, but I'm not quite satisfied as to how you tackled what Amnon did to my sister Tamar. Together. So after church, do you agree? You know, Absalom is one that always feels like he or she has a better sense of judgment. Right? They can come with, you know, I'm not saying pastor is wrong, I'm not saying the leader is wrong, I'm not saying that person is wrong, but I just feel like that's how they feel like they kill Amnon. They arrange the death of Amnon. All together. Let me tell you something. I hope you know. Please, let me tell you why I'm saying this thing. I hope you know that after Absalom killed Amnon, he wasn't satisfied. Do you know that? Do you know that after Absalom killed Amnon, he went after the pastor? Oh, you've not read? You only read Ephesians. Okay, let me show you. Before we get there, so let me give you this note on how you can observe those traits. So not every time these traits happen, you will call them Absalom. Are we together? Eh? So when someone starts talking, you just say, Absalom, go. No. Because some people act like Absalom sometimes without knowing. That's what we are saying it to you. Yeah? So Absalom is the one that will text you secretly about things happening openly. Yeah? He will text you about things happening openly. They will take bitterness and unresolved offenses, disappointment towards their ambitions, anger, and they will disguise it. Did you see how pastor corrected you openly? Right? He doesn't see you in the office that God sees you. He doesn't honor the crown of God on your head. All together. They don't like to be corrected. They have a sense of entitlement. If I were to be your leader. Yeah? Go back to 2 Samuel chapter 13 verse 22. Let me show you something. Or 2 Samuel 15, sorry. 15 verse 1 to 6. They feel like they give better judgment. 16 verse 1 to 6. 15 verse 1 to 6. He says, and it came to pass after this that Absalom prepared his chariot and horses and 50 men to run before him. And Absalom rose up early and stood beside the way of the gates. So Absalom was the one that would stay at the gates as an usher. And it was so that when any man that had any controversy came to the king, so a man from outside would come to the pastor inside the church, but Absalom would be at the gate as the usher. Right? And after we go and meet the brother or the sister, oh sister, oh brother, what city are thou from? And the man from outside will say, your servant is one of the tribes of Israel. And after we say unto him in verse 3, you see, your matters are good and right. Your matters are solid. But there is no man that is deputed of the king to hear your story. There is no man that is deputed of the king to hear. So he's saying, you see, this matter you brought to pastor is solid though. But unfortunately, pastor is not around, and there's nobody else that can listen for pastor. Listen, though. Look at verse 5, verse 4. Absalom now said, moreover, however, I am here. Look at what he says. Absalom now said, you see, your matters are good at night in verse 3, verse 5, verse 4. Absalom said, moreover, oh, that I were made judge of the land. You see, that every man which had any suit or cause might come unto me, and I would do them what? So what is the usher doing at the door? Pastor will not really give you justice, but I wish I were to the king. Pray for me so I can become king. All together. And it was so, verse 5, that when any man came near to him to do his obeisance, he put forth his hand and took him and kissed him. Look at verse 6. And on this manner did Absalom did to whom? All Israel that came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole the heart of the men of Israel. What is Absalom's goal? To steal the heart of the men of Israel. They will stand at the door like usher, always ready to present themselves to everybody. Right? There's nothing wrong with presenting yourself to everybody. What are you saying to the everybody? See, I've been in this church longer than you can think about. Guess when I joined the church? The person will say 3 years ago. I said, no, not 20 years ago. So, I'm in the right position to tell you how things are done here. You see, this is your matter. It's solid. But if you tell pastor, pastor will just say, walk in love. Oh, I wish I was a judge. And he did that for people. What did the Bible say? He took the hearts of the men. So Absalom is one that gives his own judgment. The king doesn't really have the time. I wish I was the pastor. I would have said this. I would have said, don't that. Sister, you are not singing. You are not singing. You are not lifting your head when you are singing. If you see a sister not lifting her head when she's singing, who do you not speak to? Ah, the sister. Except the sister is your wife. Or sister is your blood sister. Or sister is somebody you have a different relationship with. Even at that. Yeah? That's how we handle these things. They act warm. They act warm. They're always receptive. They're always open. There's nothing wrong with being open. All together. That's why for some of you now, when some of you start becoming leaders, when a member of your local cell tells you, oh, I like the way you reason through matters. Right? That's a good thing. When they say, I like the way you reason through matters, unlike our pastor, you are in trouble. Are you here? Are you here? You are in trouble. There is something called unity in the local church. It means that if you are a leader in God's palace and there's a sense of judgment you should give to a people there, if you should hear my judgment as your pastor, it should not be far-fetched. Do you get that? What if you say, you know, the way you sit, I just love the way you process things. Pastor doesn't process. And you too, leader, you say, it's the grace of God. You're not serious. Oh, Jesus. This thing is not by works. It's not by the works. It's not by he that runneth. And by he that the Lord should have mercy. Use the quoting scripture. The Lord of mercy. You say, you know, I started this thing, you know, before my father passed, he handed over the baton to me of a church of 3 million people. And that's why I know this thing. You are in trouble. All together. Look at chapter 15, verse 7. 2 Samuel 15, 7. And it came to pass after how many years? Are you there? 2 Samuel 15, 7. It came to pass after how many years?
40 years.
40. So, Absalom did not end up after 2 years. 40 years. It came to pass after 40 years. That what happened? Absalom said to the king, I pray thee, let me go and pay my vow, which I have vowed unto the Lord in Hebron. Verse 8. He says what? For thy servant vowed a vow while he abode in Geshur in Syria, saying, if the Lord shall bring me again to Jerusalem, this I will serve the Lord. Right? And the king said unto him, go in peace. So he arose and he went to Hebron. Right? Then look at the next verse 10. But Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then ye shall say, Absalom reigneth in Hebron. Are you here? Is in your Bible? When you hear the sound of the trumpet, say, all hail the pastor Absalom. All hail King Absalom. How did he get there? He has started working on the hearts of people. Remember verse 6. He says he turned the hearts of the men of Israel towards himself. That's their goal. That's their goal. They want to be a voice of wisdom over your life because they don't want to be accountable to a structure. Now, I've told you before, when you cannot be accountable to the structure in a local church, what do? You go and find another local church. If your pastor cannot correct you, what do? You are better in another local church than remaining there. It is not good for you. Are we together? Right? So, Absalom says, look at 11. And Absalom went 200 men out of Jerusalem that were called. And they went in their simplicity and they knew not anything. Now look at verse 12. And Absalom sent for Ahithophel. Remember, Absalom was somebody who wants position.
Yeah.
Remember, he wants people to honor him.
Yeah.
What did Absalom do? Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gileadite. Who is Ahithophel? David's counselor. Absalom sent for assistant pastor. Let me tell you something today. The closer you are to your King David, the more careful you need to be. Are you with me? Anywhere you find yourself in the world, you might not always be in God's palace. But the closer you are to King David, the more careful you are. Because as much as people are after David, they're after you. And more often than not, they will get you and they want to get David and they will get David through you. Who is Absalom? Who is Ahithophel? The counselor of David. You know what it means to be a counselor of the king? Well recognized. What did Absalom do? People of God, how many years is this? 40 years after. What a heart! 40 years after. And you know, in all those 40 years, they were hearing the word in the church. And they were hearing, I forgive as Christ forgive. 40 years down the line, Absalom will be going after David. Why? Because of David's judgment on Tamar's case.
Do you suppose Pamela would have moved on with her life at this point?
Yeah.
So who's Absalom? The one that carries matter on their head. You know what it means to carry matter on your head? Yeah? He carried the matter as a plate on your head. He went to find Absalom, Ahithophel. From this, he sent even in Gideon while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Can you see? They are building following. They are building following. They are building following. Are we together? How does it happen in our world? Yeah? When a member reaches out to you. Oh, there's a group chat that I just share the word every Tuesday evening. I need to you join. See, if somebody meets you and say there's a group chat that I share the word every Tuesday evening, what do you do? I'm talking about somebody you meet in the local church. What do you do? Is pastor aware? You know, pastors always told us that you and I, in obedience to the world, we take the gospel to the ends of the earth. And I want to pray to a brother. You know, there's a Tuesday evening Bible study I do. What are they doing? They are causing division. If you don't have any ulterior motive, you need to tell pastor.
Yeah.
And you just a group chat. It's a brother in Christ. I'm sure the brother is solid. The first question you ask is pastor aware? If pastor is aware, yes. Okay, fine. I will ask pastor if I can join the group. Because I don't know what the third pastor wants to do with the group. Because they can tell pastor, it's just a group for us to just be communicating so that we know where we are late. Meanwhile, it is that they want to be teaching themselves some doctrine. So you tell pastor, what did the man tell pastor that he wants to do with the group? If pastor say join, you can go ahead and... You see, these are the things that needs to be in church. People will say they are controlling you. Why did they control you in your office? Imagine like a meeting in your office, and all of a sudden, the meeting has not finished, just turn off the camera and meet yourself and walk out of the bed and go and eat. You see all these things I'm saying? These are not, you must not do this. This is not about, I instruct you, never say no. This is about, these are clear-cut conversations you need to guard your heart against. Else, you will know where you start, you don't know where you will end. Absalom might not have thought that this journey is 40 years ahead. He went after King David. Look at what happened. And there came a messenger to David saying, the heart of men of Israel are after Absalom. So they've come back to report to pastor. Hey, pastor, brother Absalom, a lot of people are now following him on his WhatsApp group. He has a following online. And David said unto his servant that were with him at his place, arise and let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly. You see, David now is carrying his load. He wants to run. Run. Yes, so he says, and if we don't, if they don't overtake us suddenly, they will bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. Look at verse 15. And the king's servant said unto the king, behold, thy servants are ready to do whatsoever my lord the king shall appoint. Happy are you, a king David, who even though you had an Absalom and Ahithophel, who will keep their back against you, you still have the orders that will say, pastor, it is you we honor. What do you want us to do? Look at verse 16. And the king went forth and all his household after him. And the king left 10 women which were concubines and to keep the house. And the king went for all the people after him tarried, and the place that was far off. And all the servants passed on beside him, and the Cherethites, and the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gad, passed on before the king. Look at what the king said. The king said to Ahithophel, that wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou comest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down without seeing I whither I may? Verse 21. Right? And Ethan answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth and the Lord king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also shall be servants, be thy servant. Then I want to jump off because of our time. If you go to verse 31. Are you in verse 31?
Yeah.
For our time. It says, and one told David, saying, Ahithophel is now amongst the conspirators with Absalom. Who is Ahithophel? David's counselor. Who is Absalom? David's child. How many years after? 40 years after. So news came to pastor. Ahithophel, your right-hand man, is now what? In conspiration with Absalom. Is that not your Bible?
Yeah.
And David said, look at David's prayer. Let's read David's prayer today. 1, 2, 3, go. Oh Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. And it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mountain where he worshipped God, behold, Ushiah the Archite came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon the head. Unto whom David said, if thou passest on with me, then thou shalt be a burden unto me.
But if thou return to thee and say unto Absalom, I will be thy servant, O king, as I have been thy father's servant thereunto. So will I also be thy servant, then mayest thou for me defeat the counsel of Ahithophel. What is David doing? Eh? What is David doing? David is sending someone to the camp of Absalom now. And he's saying, go and act like you are for them. Are we together? Are we together? Right? And as thou not, verse 35, there with Zadok and Abiathar the priest, therefore it shall be that what things soever thou shalt hear out of the king's house, then shall I take to Zadok and Abiathar the priest. Behold, they have there with them their two sons, Ahimaaz Zadok's son and Jonathan Abiathar's son, and by them ye shall send me unto, and shall send unto me everything that you can hear. Are you following? He now says, so Shear David's friend came into the city, and Absalom came into whatever. Yeah. Now, the question now becomes, who is Ahithophel? David's counselor. Do you not look at 2 Samuel 11, before you go to 2 Samuel 11:3. 2 Samuel 11:3. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one of them said, is that not Bathsheba, the daughter of who? Eliam. The wife of Uriah. Do you remember Bathsheba? Yes. The wife of Uriah, the Hittite. Yes. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 34. 2 Samuel 23, verse 34. And Eliphaz, the son of Ahashbi, the son of Mekatite, Eliam, the son of who? Ahithophel. Do you get what I just showed you now?
Yeah.
So scholars agree that Ahithophel was the grandfather of Bathsheba. Do you not see Eliam there? Eliam is the father of Bathsheba who married Uriah. Ahithophel is the grandfather of Bathsheba. So there's every tendency that Ahithophel did not like what David did to Bathsheba. What did David do? Do you remember?
Yeah.
Are you getting it?
Yeah.
Are you getting it? Yeah. So it also means that there's every tendency that Ahithophel has not working in strife. Then what did he do? He found an Absalom that ignited it. So Absalom will send for Ahithophel, and Absalom will hear the plan of Ahithophel will hear the plan of Absalom, and he'll say, "Oh wow, a man sent from God." Let me close in chapter 16. Then we'll continue on Wednesday. 2 Samuel 16:20. 2 Samuel 16:20. Let's read it down, and we'll just close up today. 2 Samuel 16:20. Then said Absalom to Ahithophel, "Give counsel among you what we should do." And Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "Go in unto thy father's concubine, which he had left to keep the house, and all of Israel shall hear that thou art abhorred of thy father. Then shall the hands of all that are with thee be strong." So they spread Absalom a tent upon the top of the house, and Absalom went in unto his father's concubine in the sight of all Israel. And the counsel of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired at the oracle of God. So it become like utterance, right? So was all the counsel of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. So what was David's prayer about Ahithophel? That God will turn the counsel of Ahithophel to foolishness. Please watch. Chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, "Let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night." That's Ahithophel, David's counselor. "And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee, and I will smite the king here only. 40 years after, and I will bring back all the people unto thee, the man which was together, and return, and so that people will be in peace." And they said, and the same pleased Absalom well, great counselor Ahithophel, and all the elders of Israel, and said Absalom, "Call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he has said." And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, "Ahithophel has spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak now." And Hushai said unto Absalom, "The counsel that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time. For said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be shaft in their mind, as a bear robed of her will." Verse 9, "Behold, he is hid now in some pit, or in some other place, and it shall come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at first, that whosoever heareth it says, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as that of a lion, shall utterly melt, for all the Israel knoweth that their father is a mighty man. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee," verse 11, "from Dan unto Bathsheba," right, "as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in their own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as a dew falleth on the ground. Moreover, verse 13, if he be got into a city, then shall all Israel bring growth out of the city, and will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found. And Absalom said, and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Architect is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring it upon Absalom. Do you see what's happening?
Yeah.
Who is Hushai? David's person. So would that be Hushai in the church?
Yeah.
If you see Absalom and you hear what Absalom is saying, what do you do? Go back to David. David. I won't say more than, even if you just say, I won't say more than this, but don't eat on this day. And just 10:6, David say, Selah. Say, David, pause and ponder. The word is enough for the king. Yeah? So look at what happened in verse 14. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the council of Israel, the guys, look at verse 15. Then said Israel to Zadok and to Abithiah the priest, thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. Do you understand? So remember David said, don't come and meet me directly. Go and meet the priest. Then their sons will pass the message to me.
Yeah.
You get that? You remember that story now?
Yeah.
Verse 16. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness. Happy are you if you can warn your pastor about things like that. Lodge not this night in the plain of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be allowed, be swallowed up, and all the people that are with him. Now Jonathan and Abiathar stayed in En-Rogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city, and went and told them, and they went and told who? King David. Look at verse 18. What does it say in verse 18? Nevertheless, Elab saw them and told Absalom. But they went, both of them, away quickly and came to the man's house in Bereham, which had a well in his cup, whether they went down. And the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the things was not known. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman in the house, they said, where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan? And the woman said unto them, they have gone over to the brook of water. And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. And it came to pass in verse 21, after they were departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told the king David, and said unto David, arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus had Ahithophel counsel against what? You. 22 let's read together. Then David arose, and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light, and lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. That's 20, let's read verse 20 together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he sat on his ass and arose, and got home into his house to the city, and put his household in order, and what? He killed himself, and he died, and was buried in the sepulchre of his father. Who else did something like Ahithophel? Judas. So Judas was not the first Judas. So the first Judas was who? Ahithophel. From 2 Samuel. What Judas did and what Ahithophel did, are they the same? Yeah, so there was Pastor Jesus, there was Pastor David, there is Pastor Joshua. Are we together? Are we together? You know, I told you last week, if Pastor Jesus can pastor a man and the man becomes a Judas, who am I? Are we together? What am I saying to you? You will meet, the church is a place. You know, somebody refers to each other as a hospital where different people with different issues come. If your own is headache, okay, stay there for the one and hear the headache, let your headache go. There are those, there is cancer. Together, there are those with terminal issue. So what do? You behave yourself in a way you ought to behave yourself. Paul will now tell you, yeah, don't treat one as an enemy, as a brother.